the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, and score! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Kasiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, it is 10 o'clock. That means on a Monday morning, means it's time to have our Joe Schott Hour, talk about Michigan Tech hockey for the next 60 minutes or so. A three-win week for Michigan Tech, defeating Lake State on Tuesday, and then sweeping Northern Michigan Friday and Saturday, including an overtime winner Saturday night down at the Berry Event Center. And we're excited about Michigan Tech hockey getting ready to take on one of the top teams in the nation in Minnesota State. Coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, you'll be able to hear all the action right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations on a great week of Michigan Tech hockey wins.
Good morning, Dirk. Can you hear me okay? Because you're cutting in and out on me.
I can hear you perfectly. You sound great on this end.
Good.
So,
okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, great week, Coach, of hockey. Got that much-needed win against Lake State on Tuesday. And then, you know, beating your arch rival anytime two games in a row is wonderful. But to beat them all six times in the regular season, I just think it's one of those rare feats that you're ever going to get a chance to do, first of all, and to do it, I think, was pretty cool.
Yeah, I give everybody a lot of credit for the work that we put in this week. As I mentioned, I think on Tuesday in the postgame, we were a little concerned on Monday after, you know, we thought very well a week ago against Lake State. And had a goal disallowed with 2.5 minutes or so left in the game. It would have tied it against Lake State. We played very well, we felt, in that game. We had a really good effort against Bemidji on two games at home, and then and didn't have any results again. Only scored one goal in each of those games. So, you know, the panic button seemed to be setting in a little bit, and the frustration button. So we were concerned. Monday, I thought we had an okay skate, but it just seemed the emotion was a little bit down. So I was concerned going into Tuesday's game against Lake Superior, but the guys were ready to go. They just needed, I think, to just get out of their system a little, and they're ready to go. We had a really good game, I believe a 4-1 win against Lake State on Tuesday, and then followed that up with a couple of strong efforts this weekend.
You know, you had some, the scoring's kind of been worked around pretty good, but some of our guys are really stepping up, our leaders, as you would call them, in Trenton Bliss, Brian Hallinan, Alec Bretzman with a couple of power play goals, and it's key that these guys contribute and continue to lead this team going forward, right, Coach?
Well, it is. They control the team. They control the locker room. They control the mood of the group, so their effort kind of filters down their expectations, then their accountability, their ability to hold others accountable either through action or however they handle it within the group means that much more. So we're getting a great play out of them. I think that a couple of our defensemen are really stepping up in the game. I think Leip is making great strides for us and stepping up as well, and Colin Sawyer's playing very good hockey for us. He's handling his defensive assignments and he's contributing well offensively. So I think we have a lot of guys stepping up and doing well. But again, you hit on the head. That group has been leading us for a long time. This is their third year now where this has really been, the first year it was a battle a bit, but the last 2 years, this has been their group. And I think Alex Smith said it perfectly when I was having my exit meeting with him last year. He said, Joe, you got to completely turn this team over to those guys. It's their team. And we all knew that. And those guys have been doing it for us for a long time.
So we go into, and we'll talk more about the series coming up, but, we run a little bit of a streak here. We got the nice three-game winning streak, and seem to be playing really good hockey right now, Coach. And we go into a building that's been difficult for us to win some games, but we have. And, you know, we know we still can have that chance at home ice. Just from this Monday perspective, how are you looking at that weekend against Minnesota State and you know, with the way we're playing and everything like that?
Well, to be absolutely honest, I think if we get decent officiating, that it'll be, there'll be two good games. Mankato's a good team, but you know, I really look at it one way. When we play certain teams, Northern Michigan, Bowling Green, Mankato, often Lake Superior, they're just a schmozzle. The games are, you know, they aren't the games that either coach often wants to play, I don't think. And most teams play against Mankato, and they spend a considerable amount of time in the penalty box. And Mankato's clicking at about a 38% power play in league play, which is, you know, that's nearly 40%. That's, you know, almost one in every two power plays they get, they're going to score. When you start getting 5 and 6 and 7 power, you know, penalties against them, it's, you know, recipe for disaster just by sheer numbers, by the average of it. Now, if you look at it, Bemidji plays them tough all the time. And Bemidji always gets consistent officiating against them. There's always either one or two, maximum three power plays that Mankato gets against Bemidji. Only one time this year in all their games have they gotten more than I believe two. Unless Saturday night or Sunday, whenever they played, unless there was more, I think it was Saturday night, unless there was three in there, but there wasn't when I looked at it. The only game where there's been more than that was in the 4-1 win by Bemidji over Mankato. Mankato in that game had 5 power plays in the game that they lost. Maybe some of those were late, who knows, maybe they're trying to draw them. But the biggest thing against Mankato is to stay out of the box. And I've often said it, any opportunities they get, they really, our league would do Mankato a great service if they, and I'm talking about in the postseason, in the national tournament, if the games were all called, officiated the same, because Mankato does a really good job of controlling momentum through special teams. And so the biggest key against them is to stay out of the box. And with that, you need the officials really seeing things, you know, really making sure that they see things both ways. And even on coincidentals where they may call an embellishment or something, even on those plays, Mankato doesn't come out harmed on a 4-on-4. So either way, any way they can get guys off the ice for the opposition, it's a huge benefit to them. And they've lived off of that in a lot of ways for quite some time, but it hasn't fared well for them so far in the national tournament, because they haven't won a national tournament game yet, even though they've been number one in the country, number two in the country, number three in the country. So that's the key. Bemidji always gets that sort of officiating in the game. They're at the bottom of the league. We're right next to them, just fractions of percentage points away from them in penalties. We don't want the games to turn into what Bowling Green did. We want to make sure, you know, we can't control it. All we can control is what we do. But, you know, I think the biggest thing to give us a chance, if we can't stay out of the box, it's going to, you know, the games could get away from us.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, you know, as I know, and I certainly don't want to look past this weekend, but in 2 weeks we'll be playing the first round of our WCHA postseason, and whether or not we have home ice is still to be determined. How important is home ice to you, do you think, at this time for our team?
It's vitally important. You know, we want to, you sleep in your own bed. We're a good team at home. Even the couple games that we lost this year, we lost those 3 straight at home. We played tremendous hockey in those games. We didn't put the puck in the net. But our execution, our play was outstanding. So it's vitally important for us to get that. And that's why we managed the games this week in the way that we did.
So after all these games that have been played, Coach, in a very short period of time, do you feel this team is still pretty well rested? Because it seems like every game they go out there with these three-game weeks, and we talked a lot about it during the pregames and during the your show last week, you know, how many games are being crammed in such a short period of time. It doesn't seem at this point to be affecting the guys. Will this full week off here until next week help us, do you think, going into that weekend against Minnesota State?
I think it will, and you know, I give a lot of credit to a lot of people on that. Tyler does a great job in conditioning them off ice and preparing them for things. Nate's done a really good job. Our medical staff has done a good job, you know, with our doctors and things providing us input on rest and recovery and things like that. So, what I've seen more is the players who haven't been playing much in this time, where it's been really a push time for us, with all these conference games, one after another, with really, again, 5 games in 8 days for the last month. Every 8 days we're playing 5 games for a month straight. It's been, you know, the guys that are playing have their legs. The guys that aren't playing all the time don't have their legs. So it's really been an unfortunate thing for them that they've had to do so much on their own and so much outside of the group, you know, on the ice and extra conditioning and things like that to try to keep themselves ready to play. But the guys that are playing have their legs right now, and you know, we'll manage things this week. You know, we came out of the weekend a little banged up, as Northern did, so we'll have to get our medical reports today and see what we're looking at going into this weekend, as our preparation goes for this week.
Well, since you brought it up, Coach, and I, again, you might not be able to comment on it, but was there a possibility we were going to see Misiak back in that game? I thought I saw him up, you know, in the corridor area there, the entryway, and again, you don't have to comment if you don't want to, but I thought he saw him there after he gotten hit, a while after he gotten hit. Was there any chance he might have come back into that game?
You know, I don't think so. He took several stitches on the hit. And I believe, I'm not sure if Thorne was stitched up on his hit as well. He got a pretty good cut as well on his hit. Those were the two majors, that were called. Both of them, had facial cuts. I don't think that there, once they got him in the back room and things, I don't think there was any chance that he was going to come back. I think initially Nate said, you know, we're hoping to stitch him up and get him back. But, after that, he, you know, when they got him in there, they weren't going to, and we were going to go a different way with our defense in that game. We were going to play Dats as the extra player, and as it worked out, you know, good Lord watched over us, and we had the extra forward, so we were able to move Logan Piedla, who's played with Paratino and Bliss quite a bit in the past. We were able to move him right in on that line, and we really didn't miss a beat.
You know, now that you say and you talk about Thorne, maybe that was Thorne that was up in the that I was looking at from across the way. It was difficult.
No, it was Misiak.
It was.
Misiak.
Okay.
Yeah, Thorne returned, but I don't know if and how many stitches he got in the game, but he did return. Misiak did not.
Okay, we'll take a break. We've got a lot of questions that have been coming in, so we'll get to that later in the show. If you have a question and you're listening here on Monday morning, you want to ask Coach something, get it in quick. DJ@themix93.com, and we'll ask that question for you in a little while. Right now, we'll take a quick timeout. Be back with more of the Joe Sean Hour right after these.
It's March Madness at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All six-pack bottled beers on sale. 7-Up and Coke, 2 liters are 2 for $3. $1.25 liters of Pepsi and Mountain Dew are 99 cents. 12 packs of Pepsi cans, 2 for $10. Check out the new 4-door freezer full of pizza deals. Bucko's is your energy drink. Keweenaw Alpaca Gear, Skinny Pete's, Woolworths, and DNR license headquarters of the North End. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted.
Please drink responsibly.
DQ presents... How to find meal fulfillment. First, order the delicious new rotisserie-style chicken bites from DQ. Then feast your eyes on these unbreaded, tender, juicy, 100% white meat beauties. Next, take a bite of the bite
Realize that unbreaded chicken loaded with flavor is finally possible. And last, call your boss and ask for that promotion. You may have started last week, but hey, if chicken this good is possible, anything is possible. New rotisserie-style chicken bites are now a DQ. Happy tastes good.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
1-1 score as the Lakers punch one in. Huskies trying to get another one back right there. It's right on the goal line. They score. Oh, tenacity right at the goal line. And the Huskies working their tail off down there. And I think Hallinan's going to get credit for this goal. Rockwell over to the right side. Life over for Hallinan. Scores! Oh, what a play by the Huskies. A one-timer. And it'll go on the power play as well. It's 3-1 Michigan Tech. Ryan Hallinan with a couple of big goals for Michigan Tech last week. And that extra attacker, one-timer, was something special. And credit to everybody that was on the ice for that goal, Coach, because not only do you get the goal, but you get the power play, which we didn't score on, but still had the opportunity there. And that was a lot of fun to watch. Can you kind of break down that extra attacker goal, Coach, what went on there and why that was so effective?
It was just good puck movement and people getting open. It was possession play, and guys didn't panic and made plays. We've been spending a lot of time on that part of our game, so you can't leave any stone unturned in preparation. You know, even though on Saturday night Northern pulled the goaltender, we spent a lot of time on that as well, and they were able to get the goal that tied the game with the goaltender out late. We killed off the 6-on-4 the penalty, and then we got back out and they got one that kind of leaked through. I think Blake would like to have that one back. It was kind of right in his breadbasket, and it leaked to the weak side, and they had a guy standing there, was able to put it home. But we spent a lot of time on all those scenarios, not trying to make sure that we don't leave ourselves vulnerable in any aspect, so that we can't find a way to win a hockey game.
So with these lines, Coach, they've been pretty set for a while now. We talked a lot about that, but do you feel they're still possibilities of significant movement with these guys, whether there be an injury involved or just wanting to find some more magic between two or three different individuals as we go on here?
Well, it'll all happen game to game, and as you mentioned, injuries and things like that could play a part of it. You know, Carson Bantle may or may not be back at some point here. We get our medical updates every day on that, and I think he would like to go on some days, and I think on other days he doesn't quite feel ready to go, or the training staff sees, you know, mobility issues or whatever. So if and when he comes back, that will alter some things as well. But we've been getting tremendous production from everybody that has played. You know, Ryland Mosley just continues to grow and grow and grow. He makes very few mistakes. He's making plays offensively for us. He's going to be a tremendous player. You know, I'm very pleased that we brought him in and got him acclimated, because he's played in a lot of big games for us, and he's played well in a lot of big games. And the real reason that we played him on Saturday night was, and I explained this to a couple of the other players that didn't play, was that Ryland, in our opinion, in our feeling, with his skill set and his compete level, he can play anywhere in the lineup for us. So as the so-called extra forward or the extra player, if a player goes down up, you know, in a Bliss role or in a Hallinan role or something like that, Ryland can fill in on that and adequately serve us in that regards. And if a forechecker goes out, someone who pressures the puck hard and does things like that, then Ryland can fill in, and or at least on any line we give, he'll give us that energy as well. So he's given us good depth. A lot of guys have given us good depth. So it'll be a hard decision, and we need to make sure that Carson is in when he comes in. He's in full capacity to be able to compete, because we are getting production from everybody that's here. But we also desperately want Carson's size and strength in our lineup when he's ready to go.
You look at a guy like Ryland Mosley, coach, and you've mentioned that a couple of times about him. Is that a rare commodity to have a player that, you know, kind of fits every facet of a forward, being able to muck it out in the corner, still having the skill to score goals and that kind of thing?
Well, you don't want it to be a rare commodity. You'd like to have, I mean, I always talk about a player, Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg was back in the day, was a size strength player who was a skill player, and he was a power forward. And that's really how I categorize the forwards. I break them down into needs as skill forwards, we've talked about this many times, but skill forwards, you may have to overlook some things on a skill forward because they're going to put up points. In some regards, Tristan Ashbrook is that kind of a player. He'll put up points. He does things in the offensive zone. And we're trying to get him to be a more complete, and we're working with him all the time, and he's working hard at it, to be a more complete all-around player as far as the forecheck and things like that. And then you have the forechecking forwards who supply a great deal of energy for you, and the players that we're trying to convert on that, one in particular, is Jake Crespi. And we've always said, Jake, if you can get energy on the puck and get your wheels going and get those skates going and eliminate time and space and things, it's going to serve you and us extremely well in your opportunity to create offense. And he's learning that to the point where now we're using him on penalty kill. We're using him on, you know, in overtime, 3-on-3. He's a guy that picked off the puck and went in and scored the overtime winner. So he's growing as a player. You're trying to get one dimension out of a player, because if a skill player that just provides skill isn't providing skill, he's not getting points, and he's a liability in other areas, well, he's hurting you in that regards. And you can't just hope that a player is going to show up and play. You know, Alex Patan was a skill player. He'd give up scoring chances against. He'd give up them in a lot of ways on the rush and things like that. But he did get, you know, eight, nine scoring chances a night. So you took that offset, and it always equated to points. So if you could get him at a point where his deficiencies, make sure you have defensemen matching with him on the ice that can really defend Matt Roy, guys like that. His offensive side of it offset it. So, you know, you're looking for that. You look for everybody. Ryland is a good example of, he's not going to really be a size strength guy, although he's got good beef to him. He's got good, you know, he's got a great body on him. He's a forechecking energy guy that can play with skill. And so when you have crossover talent sets like that, it adds so much to your team. Carson Bantle or you know, Botts or Blisser, they're size, strength, power forward type guys that win battles in the corners, that possess really good shots, that give you both skill and size and strength. So you need that. And ideally, you'd like all your guys to be highly skilled, be power forwards that can muscle guys and win battles in front of the net, and have great speed that can force turnovers and forecheck and do things like that.
Coach, has your use of the extra skater evolved in the 2 years that it's been available now for you? Not just, and I know every night you and your coaching staff decide, you know, should we go with an extra forward or an extra defenseman, but has it evolved that player is now injected into a line, put onto a line and used more than just another guy there just in case somebody gets hurt?
That's a really good question, Dirk. I think how it's evolved, we haven't changed our philosophy on it. How it's evolved is in the depth of talent on our hockey team. So that players that we put in now, we're not putting them in for development purposes to try to get them minutes to grow. We did that a lot last year with Brendan Dadema. We got him in to help him to grow, even though there were things that he needed to drastically work on both sides of the puck. He fit in that regards. Now we're putting in guys that impact. So it puts pressure on the other players in a lot of ways that you need to be contributing in all aspects. It makes our team better because the guys that we put in, you know, if Tristan Ashbrook is the guy we dress extra, you know, we've done that. And when he first got here and dressed him as the extra player, and he scored for us. Ryland goes in as energy. Blaze Richards goes in, you know, and gives us a kind of a size, strength, energy kind of a role. So we're able to use it more to benefit us and to change our look within a game than to use it as a developmental purpose. And now the developmental side of it, the proving yourself, has to come into practice more so than in the game.
Coach, moving to Brett Thorne, scored his very first career goal on Friday.
Haney will send it back over. And now, nice pass for Thorne. Thorne will bring it down across the right side. Thorne walking in, looks there, and scores! He put it off the goaltender and in!
Well, it was a great goal. It was his first goal, and just a great rush up the ice. We talked to him, and his confidence right now is sky high with both his defense and his offense, he said, Coach. And I'm guessing you guys look at him the same way.
Yeah, seeing IPOC, you would have thought that his first goal would have, he's had much better looks at the net than that. It was an off-angle shot that he was able to see when he got the goaltender in that horizontal vertical position. He was changing from his up position to his down position and trying to lock up and close up, that five hole as the play shifted down to the goal line area. And Thorne threw it right at the middle of the net as the goaltender was in between that. So his back leg, his inside leg was kind of kicking out and his other leg was locked in the post, and he found that little bit of middle opening in between his legs and was able to get it. It was a big goal for us. I believe it was our first goal of the game.
It was. And he said, I said, well, you tried to do that, right? He said, I'd like to say that I tried to do that, but he said he was, I don't remember if it was Paratino. Somebody was well covered in front of the net. I mean, they had a guy, locked right on him. There was no way that had a pass even gotten to that player, it would have, they would have had a chance to get a shot off. So it worked out perfect, but great rush by him, I thought, and just a confident rush. He just looked like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, well, it's never a bad play to throw the puck at the net, and I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, when the doomsday people were asking all the questions about our offense, I was saying things. I made a comment about the Red Wings. And I said, the Red Wings, I've watched them outplay Chicago, blah, 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 last week. They'd like to score goals, too. They're doing everything right. It's not, you have to be able to get it on the other side of the puck. Now, last night, the Wings got, 46, 47 shots. Maybe they hit 50 against Chicago and lost 7-2. But what they're doing is they're throwing pucks at the net, and they're getting traffic at the net, and they're coming off. They just came off back-to-back wins, I believe one against Nashville, one against Chicago. And then last night had nearly 50 shots on the Chicago net again. And, you get a guy like Patrick Kane, and you get those guys, Carpenter, who have great offense. They had their chances, not a ton of them, but they scored on them. So it's never a bad play to put the puck at the net. The Wings are seeing now with 2 out of 3 and maybe 4 out of 6, games they've won, something like that. You're seeing the benefits of that. So, there's a lot of parallels, between us and them right now in a lot of ways. I really like what Jeff's doing. I thought about sending him a text last night, and then when the score got away from him, like if it would have stayed 2-1 in the third or ended 3-1 with an empty net, I would send him a text and told him, great job, stick with it, just keep getting pucks in the net and grind it out, because they're doing a great job at it. But when the game got away, I thought, I'll just let him stew a bit.
Yeah. 46-32 were the shots in that. Gets a lot of shots for an NHL game. 46 shots for the Red Wings. Coach, what about our faceoffs? Against Lake State on Tuesday, we win the game 4-1. We got out faceoffed in that game 42-24. We seem to do a better job this weekend at that. And how important is that stat for our team at this time, do you think?
It's always important. It's always possession. It drives possession. Offensive zone, defensive zone faceoffs are more critical because they drive scoring chances both ways. Clears are scoring chances. So very important, and something we work on all the time.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more. We'll talk a little bit more about Jake Crespi when we come back. He had a couple big goals over the weekend, as Coach talked about. It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Bud Light created a hard seltzer so satisfying, it will have your taste buds going wild. Let's listen in.
Attention, everyone. This is your taste bud director. We got an incoming Bud Light seltzer. What are we thinking, taste buds?
Refreshing!
Great.
Now, clean finish!
Yeah, I got that on.
Tastes like mango!
Yes, mango.
One more sip!
Bud Light seltzer. Listen to your taste buds and try it today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer, IRC Beer, beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
We'll get it back up top now for Goats. Bliss to hold on to it for a second there. 4:30 left to go in the third. Curry has to the front. Score! The captain, Pretzman, with his second of the night. Both on the power play. 5-1 Michigan Tech. One-one score as the Lakers punch one in. Huskies sent over. Now here's Tarantino. Quick passer. Shot towards the goal. Didn't get there. It was blocked. And Light went down to the play. And now coming up. Oh, there's a steal. Breakaway. Presby is coming in. Presby shoots. Scores! Jake Presby with the game winner in overtime. And the Huskies win it. 3-2 in the extra period.
Well, Jay Crespi with that game winner in overtime on Saturday night to give the Huskies the 3-2 victory in the 3-on-3 overtime. They win the game. They get 2 out of 3 points in the WCHA standings, and he just had a really good weekend, Coach. And you already talked a lot about Jake already this morning, but are there any other players in the recent past for Michigan Tech that Jake is compared to by you guys? You know, like maybe Reed Sturros or anybody else that you can think he's similar to?
No, I wouldn't say Reed. Reed was a much harder player. One's not popping into my head right now, to be absolutely honest.
So he's got the speed. You're using him in more situations right now. How much higher is the ceiling right now for Jake Crespi?
Well, right now it's unlimited. He went through a stage where he was, where he would go in and out of a game, and if he started, he was battling conditioning and things, and that was a year ago where he overextended shifts. So once he overextended and once he was toast and his energy level was gone, he might not get it back, and confidence would set in, and he might not get it back the rest of that game. He's evolved into then. He was giving us, he was able to give us a game, and then maybe have a couple average games. And we talked about this, I think, a week ago. And then now he's at the point where we're getting more consistent efforts out of him, because he's not only, even in games now, in many games where he's trying to feel the game out and he's not impacting, he gets settled into the game. And I think a lot of that is the leadership on the team talking to him and settling him down, and Blisser and those guys getting him and talking him through things to get him. You know, they're handling him because they handle me with them. You know, they say, "Coach, we got him, we got him, we got him." So they, and he obviously doesn't handle a coach challenge as much as he responds to that peer pressure and that accountability from within. So we're kind of letting it happen that way, and it seems to be paying off, and the guys are handling him really well, and he's growing. He's involved and impacting games, and some of the plays he's making, he's got a brain that kind of thinks the game a little bit differently. So that's why I was, he'll do things, spinoramas and between the legs and do all kinds of goofy stuff, as Tristan Ashbrook does. He does some really crazy things, like in the first period, we were doing a little breakout play, set breakout play, and we fed him through the middle. He just kind of deflected a puck between his legs to Hallinen that was, first of all, how he even saw Hallinen, and then he laid it into an area pass where Hallinen could skate into it. Those guys, just their brains work a little different, and that's a huge part of the creativity, the professional type mentality of thinking outside the box that makes teams, that makes a difference on hockey teams.
Logan Pietola still playing really good hockey right now, Coach. It looked like from our vantage point he is.
Tremendous, outstanding. And it's good to see him back playing the way that he's playing. Now he's contributing to games. You know, we sat him out maybe a week and a half, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, for a game because he was just, you can see he was just balled up inside. You know, he's a 20-point guy last year. He's been fighting to get points. Maybe puts too much emphasis on points and not, you know, the points and things will come off of quality of play. And I think it was affecting in a lot of ways his quality of play. You know, trying to be perfect or maybe just his mind getting too involved. And he was able to, now he's settled down and he's relaxing and he's moving and, you know, pressure's off him and he's just playing. And it's a great thing to see. He's a tremendous hockey player.
Same for Parker Suretsky, Coach, because he's kind of been in that same, same tough situation there where he's working his tail off and, you know, the points haven't been there, but he seems to be getting separation now when he gets the puck.
Yeah, Parker's one of our best players on the wall, and you're right, he just didn't seem overly happy for some time, and he kind of really changed the long road trip we went on. He just kind of seemed to start to become a different person, and who knows, maybe he's got a girlfriend, you never know what it is, but he kind of just changed on that road trip, and from that point on. He filled in for Carson for us, and we needed him to fill in that capacity, and he's done a tremendous job for us. He's impacting games in a big way, and now we still need him. He and Logan Gainey still have not had a good track A with Tyler, and he, they're both those athletes, they vastly need their strength gains. They need to get stronger. It'll help their skating. It'll help every part of their game. So we're really hoping that we can get a good track out of them this spring.
So, Coach, with Minnesota State on tap here for this weekend, and, we'd obviously like to get some points and play really good and be in the right mindset going into the playoffs. Will the decision on the extra skater, is that something that you kind of know already going into the weekend, or is that something that, you know, you're going to kind of wait till Thursday or even Friday to make up your mind on that?
Yeah, we'll just watch how the week goes. We'll bring a couple extra players with us on the trip, and we'll just watch how the week goes. Like I said before, I don't know if special teams, I don't know if we'll beat Mankato or stay with Mankato if we don't get, you know, if we have a lot of, if we don't have a lot of penalties against. I don't know how the game, but I know if we do have a lot of, if it turns into a special teams game, it drastically shifts in their favor because of a 40% power play, and they're like second in the league in, or third in the league or whatever, in penalty kill as well. So specialty team games really favor them. So that will vastly determine the lineup that we make. We're hoping that it doesn't come to that, but it just always seems to when we play certain teams.
Well, let's start our questions, Coach. You still have time if you're listening on Monday morning to get one in, but you're running out of time. DJ@themix93.com. This one just came in, Coach, and we've been talking about Justin Misiak, and of course he took that hit on Saturday and did not return to the game. This listener is asking, if he is not able to play next week, is there a concern with the center position, and who would fill in that spot?
Well, there's a concern with a lot of things. You know, Justin's as valuable to our team as anybody with his energy and the things that he provides. And he's gotten good at face-offs on the left-hand side when we need a left-hand centerman on draws. His value to our team in all a power play, penalty kill, and everything we do is extreme. So it'd be a big setback if he can't go. I haven't gotten a medical report yet today, but we'll find out. And hopefully it's a day to day thing rather than just getting the word that, hey, he won't be able to go this weekend.
Next question, another one that just came in, Coach, and the question talks about Brian Hallinan. Had a great week, obviously, for Michigan Tech, and this listener is asking: Did Brian get rid of his shots quicker this weekend to help him out getting shots through?
Well, we're certainly talking to him about it. I'll tell you one thing. We saw it was against Lake Superior on Tuesday, I believe it was. It might have been against the first game on Northern, but I believe Nardella gave him a quick pass in the middle, and he just stopped, and like he stopped the puck, just stopped it, and shot it. It was against Lake State because Mittens made a great save on it, a shoulder save, and it was from the top of the circle, and it was an absolute missile. Brian likes to get a puck in a certain spot on his stick with his feet in a certain spot, everything just right, and then pull it and shoot it. And the quicker he can learn to just get that puck from a lot of positions. And, you know, Brendan Shanahan was like that. If you went and watched a Red Wing practice when he was there, he would have guys after practice give him pucks in his skates, behind him, in front of him. He knew that his bread and butter was his shot and his release on his shot. And he wanted to be able to get that shot off from any position quickly before the goaltender had a chance to move and set. That's what many guys at our level, and that's what our level's about. That's why it's still a development level. And the guys who master this level are ready to go on and play professional hockey. They need to keep working on that stuff, and Brian needs to continue to work on it. And he is. That was a good question by the individual. That's something that he and several of our players are doing, working on, is getting their shots off quicker and accurate.
And Coach, here's a question from me. You brought up Nick Nardella and just some of the great things he's able to do out there, especially his quick passes. Do you see a lot of parallels between Nardella and Tommy Paratino, the way they're kind of magicians with those quick passes to some guys who aren't, I think, maybe aren't even expecting them to come in so quick and perfectly on the stick?
Yeah, they are. There's similarities there, although the main difference is Tommy's more of a scorer than a setup man, and Nardella's more of a setup man than a scorer. But I'll say this. Nick Nardella is a better college player than I saw him ever play in juniors. Like, we've challenged him. I've certainly not given in to what I think he could overlook. Like, even when I recruited him, and every time I'd talk to him, and talk to his family, I'd say the same things over of what I thought were his shortcomings, and in order to have success at this level, this is what we need. And we carried that through when he got here. And continue to do that. To get, you need to be involved. Get you need to be around the puck. Don't like early in the year, he was finding areas to kind of hide and wait for the puck to come to him. And he is figuring out how to be a tremendous college hockey player. He is a much better college player than he was a junior player, in my opinion.
That's amazing, and that's not always, obviously, that's not always the way it goes, right? Sometimes it's the exact opposite.
Well, he comes from great genetics. His father was a tremendous hockey player,
yeah.
And Nick has a great brain. And the only thing he doesn't have is that size and strength. But he's got the skill, and he's developing the tenacity and the ability to win battles. And what he can do is make a play in tight places. And we talk about, you know, some players need a lot of time and space to make a play, and that's why defensively your job is to eliminate time and space. Offensively is to try to create enough that you can make a play with. And he's got a great vision, great peripheral. He's got a good sense of where people are, and he can make a play in tight spaces. And that's why we want him in those traffic areas, so that as he's drawing coverage and things like that, he can make plays and distribute it and find guys. And that's played big dividends for his line mates. It's been as good a line as we've had probably in the second half of the year.
All right, Coach. This one, I don't know if you want to talk about it at all. First of all, this listener says congratulations on the big week of wins. But they go on and they wanted to know if you were able to give your opinion on any of the majors that were called down at the Barry Event Center, with Boucher getting hurt on that one, and there was no major called on that one. And this listener says he didn't think that a major should be called. And then on the one on Thorne, do you want to comment at all on those?
Well, I can see where Northern would come out frustrated in the game, because so much of our offense came on the weekend on the power play. Or on, you know, the 6-on-5. We scored Friday, we scored three power play goals, a 6-on-5 goal with the goalie out on a delayed penalty, and a shorthanded goal. So five of the six were even strength, were special teams type situations. And Saturday, two of our three were power play goals. So I can see where a Northern fan would be upset with the game. We looked at them. I thought the officials made the correct calls. You know, there were several situations identical to the Brian Hallinan play where they were both fighting for inside position. The way I saw that play is that the northern player had initial inside position, and Brian was able to work himself even. And then I saw the northern player, and it was a horrific looking how his leg twisted. But he went he had his stick underneath Brian and tried to lift and gain leverage. And Brian's 220 pounds of sheer muscle. And he wasn't able to do that. I think if it would have been a slew foot type play, their player's leg would have gone up in the air, and it didn't. It was locked in the ice, and when he went into the boards, and it looked to me like he lost his balance. Now, you know, you can't. I mean, it certainly wasn't anything malicious in any kind. And had they called a major, we wouldn't have been happy with that. But however the officials call it, but it was to me that happens so much in a game where two guys go in. It was one powerful man that got inside position, because Brian actually did get inside position. And you know, if it was a slew foot type situation, their guy's leg wouldn't have been behind Brian's, if that makes sense. It would have been in front of Brian's. You know, like if he kicked his leg out. A slew foot is where you kick a guy's leg out. And their player, his leg was behind and got locked behind Brian's, and that's what happened. He went into the boards with his one leg locked behind. Is the way it looked to me.
All right. Here is another very interesting question here for you, Coach. Suppose the NCAA allowed you a third paid assistant coach for next season. The four finalists for that position were former mentors of yours, Frank Anzalone, Jeff Jackson, Walt Kyle, and Mel Pearson, all in their prime. Who does Joe Schoen hire and why? Do you want to touch that one?
Okay, so are they saying, like, first of all, it'd be much better served if I went and served as an assistant coach for one of them.
Cause that's not what they're asking.
I'm not in any of their class. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Jeff. I'd want to be with Jeff Jackson. So, all good coaches. You know, Walt is right there too. Though Walt Kyle is right there as well. I mean, they're so opposite in the way they do things, and I learned so much from both of them in how they handled players. Like Jeff was really standoffish and really matter of fact and not really, you know, close guy type of a coach, and Walt is the exact opposite. He's a guy that's right in the trenches with his athletes, and you know, and he's the general, and everybody knows he's the general, and he can literally tell a player, you know, and I've told him this many times, this story. He can look at a player and say, "Don't ever do that. I don't ever want you to do that." He can do that. He'll point at another player. He can do it. He's got the talent. He's got the skill to do it. You're not him. Don't ever do that. And then that player will look at Walt and, yeah, you're right, Walt. I'm sorry. I should never try that. He's got just a, you know, some, he's got that really some guy, you know, he's a general and guys know it. He's got, and he's even got that presence. It's amazing when you see Walt around some of the people you'd think are, you know, when he's around, Bobby Motzko or you know, his friends, or Tom Ceratori and those guys. I mean, Walt's the alpha. He's the guy in that group. You know, he controls the whole group. So one of those two guys, because of the complete package that they are, the other one's obviously absolutely tremendous coaches, but the complete package, the guy who I think will have success at any, the guys who I think would have success and have had success at every level they've been at would be Jeff and Walt Nets. I mean, it could go either way on that.
Coach, really quick before we have to take another break, can you talk about recruiting and any decisions on the squad for next year?
Well, we can't really, I guess we could talk about guys have signed letters of intent, but off the top of my head, I'm not sure which ones are. We have players that can return. We have a really good team. We're just trying to, if we find someone right now, and we are looking at that, but if we find somebody right now, first of all, it's hard. We can't watch them. It's all video based. But they need to be able to come in and make us better. We're not, we're not going to pull guys in to come and sit the bench and waste a year of hockey. They're going to be guys that we feel could come in and they add to what we do so that we can, you know, other players can make decisions how that impacts them.
How much less of an impact can be just seeing a player on film like you guys have had to do because of this pandemic to seeing them live and in person? Because, and the reason I ask it, I would imagine that every building and every team has different qualities of camera work and cameras and everything. So every feed that you get must be different.
Yeah, but the one thing we have now on video, and they've probably had this in football forever, but is there services available now that you can watch video that you can actually get shifts on a player. You can just watch the player's shifts over and over. So you can watch an abundance of that individual, and it's not like seeing them live. It's not seeing them live because body language means so much, and talking to a person face to face means so much, and getting that handshake from them, and seeing how they interact with their parents, and how their parents interact with them to try to get a feel for what their makeup and things like that. The live is always. Is always great, but you work with what you can, and right now what we can work with is video, and really as much of that is recommendation from somebody on a player, like, you know, hey Joe, take a look at this guy, or like I do, you know, when I talk to pro teams, you know, this guy has this and this and this, if that's what you're looking for, this player possesses that, and we think he's this, I don't see that, or yeah, you're exactly right, you know what I mean, word of mouth like that from people you trust is extremely vital. There's people who call me and say, Joe, take this kid. Will he be in our top six? Yes. Who's he like? Who that we know? He's like this player. Okay, he'll contribute like that. Yeah. Okay, we'll take him.
Yeah,
and I don't even have to see him.
That's to me very interesting stuff on how that all works out like that. Very good, Coach. All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll talk about the Huskies matchup against the. Current third ranked team in the nation, Minnesota State, coming in at 16-3-1 overall. The Huskies will be at Minnesota State this weekend. We'll talk about that right after this on the Joe Schon Hour.
When the afternoon rolls around, today's doers can't stop doing. They answer emails with one word, wear wearables on their wearables, and now there's an afternoon pick-me-up just for them. New Coca-Cola with coffee. A great Coke taste infused with Brazilian coffee. So whatever your afternoon brings, Coke with coffee is perfect for you. Introducing Coke with coffee.
Keep your afternoon on track with an ice-cold Coca-Cola with coffee. A great Coke taste infused with Brazilian coffee. Grab one today. Your afternoon will thank you.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mikish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
All right, a couple questions came in real late, Coach, before we get to Minnesota State. This listener is saying there's always a lot of talk about lateral movement for goaltenders and making them move that way. I'm seeing a lot more of trying to make goaltenders move vertically from the goal line out toward the blue line and make them lose their bearings. How much do you work on that?
in honesty, I've never so much heard of that, because you want your goaltender to be, my philosophy on goaltending is to be out as far as you can so that you can take away any lateral option, if that makes sense. So, I mean, if you could, you know, Star Trek beam yourself from being right out on top of a defenseman at the point to covering a backdoor one-timer, that's what you do, because you want to be out. It's all a percentage game, and the smaller you are, the farther out you need to be. And again, it's just math. It's just percentages on that part of it. Now, the lateral movement part is key, and you hear so many people say, why did they pass up that shot? Why are they passing up that shot? And the philosophy now, at the higher levels is that you should look to what they call move the box. And so let's just picture a goaltender. You put his arms out, you put his legs out, and you draw a box from his arms down to his legs if they're in a butterfly or whatever. You just draw a box there. And that box is out or it's in, based on depth. He could be right in on the goal line or out. The farther he is out, the less you have to shoot at. So if you can get him out, and I guess this would be if he's out of his net, you want to have, backdoor opportunities. Like Brian Hallinan's goal on the 6-on-5. He was able to shift the box. That box is what the puck sees. So, and there is so much room. I mean, you can look at different areas on the ice and the depth of the goalie as to what there is to shoot at. And there's a lot of times there is nothing, absolutely nothing to shoot at. The only chance you have is you find a hole and it goes under the goalie's arm or something like that. Moving the box, you want to get the shot off, and that's why we get into Brian Hallinan and those guys and on these quick releases. You want to get that shot off before they're able to shift that box and center on you. So that, and that's really what you're talking, and you're talking about that aspect to goaltenders and to shooters about not allowing him to build that box, to shift that box around you. So the lateral movement is a lot now where people are passing up good scoring chances, going for the playoff, a skate or something like that, because there's a wide open net in that regards. If in somehow you connect, and on the other regard with goaltenders now, it's a percentage of where you score from. You know what I mean? It's how hard it is to score from different areas on the ice and on different goaltenders in different areas. If I explain that and it made any sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. All right, Coach. Well, 8 shutouts for Dryden and McKay. You've got guys like Napravlik. Prominent who can not just score, but scores timely goals. This team that we're playing is ranked 3rd in the nation, and they've had to play 3 overtime games, and I think in their last 4 contests, including the last 2 this past weekend. We have beat this team, but this is, and I know how much you respect what this coaching staff has done with their program. Again, how do you like our chances going into the weekend?
Well, I like where we're at right now, and in fairness to Mankato, they've had this thing really. I mean, it's just been a countdown to when they locked it up. I mean, when you go 8-0, 10-0, with 4 games left on the docket, and other teams have 3 losses, 4 losses, it's just a matter of time before it's done. So, in fairness to the overtime games and things like that, and again, we talked a couple of those are against Bemidji that are very low special teams games. That changed the complexion of a game as well, where Mankato doesn't get their power play involved in the game as much as they normally do. But there is no one in the country better than Mankato. None. No one. They'll play anybody they can get on the ice with anybody and will beat most anybody on any given night, on every night. So we have to be at our best. They'll be trying to get ready for the playoffs. They may rest a guy here or there. You never know what they're going to do. They may play another goaltender against us, or they may allow, play Dryden and allow him to get that much closer, try to get him to get that much closer to the record of career shutouts, I think, that's held by Ryan Miller right now for the NCAA career. So nobody better, no staff better No team has won more games than they've won since Hastings got there. They've got the best winning percentage of any school in the country. It's not by accident. They do a great job, and we certainly have a tall task ahead of us. But I do like, I would love to get into the national tournament with this team. I think we do a lot of things well, and I don't think we have a ton of glaring weaknesses within our group.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Game time, 8:07 on Friday night, 7:07 on Saturday night. You can hear it all right here on the Voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Good luck, Coach.
Thanks a lot, Dirk.